Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At the end of this month, we will celebrate Reformation Sunday, remembering the message that Martin Luther famously rediscovered through his reading of the books of Romans and Ephesians, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, found in Scripture alone. And amazingly, whoever wrote our lectionary knew that. And so the lectionary for this month is actually arranged such that the readings focus on some of the key ideas or themes from the Reformation for the next four Sundays: faith, evangelism, prayer, trust. So that's what I'm preaching on the next 4 weeks: faith, evangelism, prayer, and trust. Today, we focus on our Old Testament reading from Habakkuk to understand what faith is and what it means that we live by faith alone. And so faith means trust. To have faith in Christ means to trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who became a human being in order to rescue us poor sinners from the eternal consequences of our sin. But of course, this faith is not exactly compatible with the world in which we live. The world we live in today isn't exactly conducive to the Christian faith. Society seems to have turned away from belief in absolute truth towards a preference for relative truth. If anyone has seen the movie The Big Lebowski, the most famous line from there, "Well, that's just your opinion, man." That's pretty much our culture today. Truth is whatever you want it to be. You can believe whatever you want as long as you don't tell me that what I believe is wrong. And unfortunately, this concept of relative truth, that my truth doesn't have to be the same as your truth, this is not compatible with what it means to be Christian, with the Christian faith. The world would say that all dogs go to heaven. Our faith, however, says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. And the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few," as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. The world will say all faiths are equally valid. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Our faith, however, says with Jesus in John chapter 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is not compatible with a relative truth. Those who allow their lives to be guided by their faith in Jesus Christ are sometimes laughed at or mocked or denigrated by our society, by a society which doesn't see the same things that we believe as being so important. The world, at least our corner of it, sometimes isn't conducive to the Christian faith for another reason: that the world tries to lead us away, lures us away after riches. When you have such ready entertainment, why would you want to read a stuffy old book like the Bible? When you have such easy avenues for increasing wealth, why would you give it all up to follow Jesus? Perhaps you, like Habakkuk, have seen the phenomenon that your faith is not being rewarded, that the wicked people are succeeding, that the godly people or the believers are failing. Why does God allow this to happen? And if you look at the book of Habakkuk a little closer, reading the whole thing, it actually reads as a dialogue between God and the prophet on this exact topic. starts with Habakkuk essentially saying, God, why is it that all of these wicked people in Judah keep on succeeding and all of your people who believe in you keep failing? Which God responds back, don't worry about it. Look, I'm going to bring the Babylonians and they're going to do unholy things in Judah to punish them for their wickedness. Thanks. But isn't that a little excessive? I mean, don't you think that's kind of cutting off the foot to spite the corn? I mean, Babylon's not any better, God. That is essentially what sometimes we look at the world and that's what we see. God seems to be punishing everyone for what some do. Perhaps you've believed in God and yet you've watched wickedness prosper. You've watched the good people suffer, a loved one taken away in death. Crooked politicians always seem to succeed over more seemingly honorable candidates. The worker who's always skating by gets the big promotions, while the ones who are working hard get left in their dust. All of these things can conspire together to weaken our faith. We look at what's going on. What are we to do when our faith becomes weak? Sometimes I tend to agree with the disciples in our gospel reading when they turn to Jesus begging him to increase our faith. The thing is, God doesn't answer the prayer with, your faith is increased. No, instead, Jesus' response to the disciples is not the expected one. It's not to increase faith. Jesus turns around and says the amount of faith is not important. You don't need a lot of faith. Faith isn't a quantitative noun. You don't need a lot of faith to be a disciple. Your faith can be weakened and you are still a child of God. What's really important isn't the amount, but it is in whom you place your faith. It doesn't matter how great one's faith that the world is flat is, that doesn't make the world flat. Faith itself isn't what's important. What is important is what that faith is in, that it is faith in God. If your faith isn't as strong as a champion of the faith like Paul, that's okay. God does strengthen our faith, and God does use his word and his sacraments to encourage you and to develop your faith. Those times that seem to be battering away at your faith, the death of a loved one, for example, may be the very things that God uses to test your faith, to strengthen your faith, to force you to put your faith more firmly in him to come out on the other side. But right now, be encouraged. Jesus doesn't praise strong faith in here. He praises faith in him. And so we stand together in the face of an increasingly hostile culture and world, not because our faith is so strong, but because God is the one who is holding us up. In 1 John 4, John says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Because the one who is holding us up, the one who dwells in us, the Holy Spirit, is so much more powerful than anything that the world or the devil or anything else can throw at us. There's a good story of a little girl who is walking along on an icy road next to her father, and she falls, and she slips on the ice, and she goes down and falls. And so she climbs back up and tells her dad, you know, can I hold on to your hand so that I don't fall anymore? And so she holds on to his hand. They walk along, come along some more ice, and she slips, her dad's finger comes out of her hand, she goes down again, her dad reaches down, holds her up and says, you know, maybe I should hold your hand. And so he covers her hand and closes it in her entire fist in his hand. No matter how much she slips, she's not going down because her father is holding her hand. And so our faith in the absolute truth of God's word is secure because he is secure. We do not have anything to fear because we are in him. He is the one who is holding us up. When our faith is secure, it comes out of us in our actions. Today we are commemorating and recognizing the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, who are an excellent example of how faith comes out in actions as they use their gifts to further God's kingdom. These quilts, for example, we dedicate today go to the care of those who are in need and give opportunities for the gospel message to be shared both locally and internationally. So how do the righteous live by faith? Perhaps a good place to start is with the prophet Habakkuk himself. Living at a time when God's will seems utterly unfathomable, when God's people are oppressed and God's enemies ascendant, Habakkuk is left without much to go on in his faith. How can God allow his people to suffer in these ways? How can God watch his people go through days of such trouble? And yet Habakkuk's book ends with a psalm, a prayer to God whose ways he does not understand. He sees God's wrath coming against the wicked. He sees God's punishment. And he ends the book with a profound statement of faith. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. No matter what happens around us, God is in control. God guides and preserves his people, you. We walk in his ways even when we do not understand what is happening around us. We trust him even when we are confused by his actions. We stand on his word even when the world mocks, because he is greater. He is the God of your salvation. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is the God of our salvation. Amen.